And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam, hosted by Andrew Schlecht with Alex Spears.
How about we can just watch basketball?
That's a man's jam!
I like that idea.
Live from Oklahoma.
Quick clip!
With questions and participants from all around the world.
Anthony Edwards!
Put that on a poster!
Whether you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee, get ready, sit back, relax. It's the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
Fact is, I missed this shot. I'll walk away. I'm still a chump.
Here's Andrew.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. Go to theathletic.com/NBA show and get The Athletic for $1 a month for 6 months. Believe it or not, even here on August 5th, we're still pumping out great NBA content. I'm sure you guys have seen the picture of the closing lineup from the Los Angeles Lakers from Jovan Buha. You can read that entire article for $1 a month for 6 months. $6 for 6 months. It's just really nothing. So you should do that today. With me, as always, is my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
What's up, Andrew?
So there's nothing to talk about. So this is the time of the year where you're either doing mailbags or you are making stuff up. And we decided to make some stuff up.
Making stuff up, thinking about first-time All-Stars. Now, before I sent you this assignment, Andrew, if you could pretend before I gave you the assignment, how many first-time All-Stars would you say there are on average in any given year? Guys who are there for the very first time have been selected to an All-Star game on average per year. What would you say?
2.5.
You know what? That's probably where I would have gone as well. I would have said, oh, maybe like 3, something like that. Would you believe it's 6.2?
Woo!
It is 6.2. Now, how did I find out of that information? Well, I just looked it up. But I went back the last 25 All-Star games. So this is all the way back to 1997.
Yeah.
I skipped 99 because there was a lockout. No All-Star game that year.
Yep.
On average, Andrew, every single year, there's been 6.2 first-time All-Stars. Now, that was kind of surprising to me. In fact, in 2020, there were 10 first-time All-Stars in the All-Star game.
Wow.
And that was that set the record for the last 25 years, tied with 2002. The fewest was in 2011. There were only 3. That was when Blake Griffin made it as a rookie, which we'll talk about rookies making the All-Star game. So somewhere between 3 and 10, but on average around 6. Interestingly, the most interesting year was would you believe it? 2004. There were 6 first-time All-Stars. They also happened to be the only time they all made an All-Star game. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Jamal McGlure?
Is he part of that? Yes, actually. Yeah, try to name him off. I dare you. No, 2004. No, how many could you get?
No, I could not. Jamal Moore, Anton Jameson. No, I'm not. I can't keep going.
Sam Cassell, okay. Andre Kirilenko, Jamal McGlure, Kenyon Martin, Michael Redd, and Meta World Peace all made their only All-Star game in the same year, which was
kind of interesting. That is interesting.
Okay, so I did all this because I was thinking of all, like, there's so many good young players in the league. Who's going to make the jump next year? And now that I know that 6 guys on average make their first All-Star game each year, now I'm kind of excited. I'm like, who could it be? In fact, last year there were 7. So, I mean, who knows how many there could be this year. Now, to help me decide who I was going to select, you know, who do I think is going to be a first-time All-Star next season, I wanted to break it down by who is most likely to be selected based on how long they've been in the NBA. So, for instance, in the last 25 years, there have only been 3 rookies ever selected to an All-Star game. Now, this one you might actually know. I already gave you one of them. Do you remember the other 2?
Did John Wall make it?
No, he did not. It was Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
way back in 98. And then Yao Ming.
Of course. Yeah. I do remember that. Did he start over Shaq that first year?
Were they doing voting back then? I don't even remember.
Well, I just remember there was a there was some scuttle about that. I can't remember what year that happened though.
They should have started both of them if they didn't.
As a Shaq fan, I was very appalled that he.
You were miffed and peeved.
I was super miffed.
There were 17 second year players. That averages out to about 0.65 per year. Yeah. As you go up, there's more and more. Third years, there were 23 of them. That's 0.88 per year. Mm-hmm. Fourth years, there were 31 of them, 1.19 mm-hmm. per year. Interesting, though, to me, is that I included everyone who had at least 5 years of NBA experience or more just under the heading of vet. 81 vets over the last 25 years, an average of 3 per year. So, you know, when I went into this exercise, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be really targeting some of these second-year players, third-year players, the young guys that we're really excited about. When in reality, I need to spend equally as much time thinking about guys who have been in the league for a while.
Yeah.
Because those guys tend to get selected a couple of them per year, 3 per year.
Yeah.
So what we are going to do, Andrew, is I sent you a list of some potential candidates, and I split them up for you in terms of first-year to fourth-year guys, kind of like the young guys, and then the vets who are 5-plus years, just so that you could figure it out in your head. Because this is not who we want to make the All-Star game. This is who we actually think is going to make the All-Star game. We're making mm-hmm. our picks. These are our bets. So what me and Andrew are going to do is we're going to have a draft. We're going to each draft 5 players, and then when we finally do get to the All-Star game, whenever that is, we'll see how many we got right, which will be very fun and exciting. Now, before we get to that, one more bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through the East All-Stars and the West All-Stars from last year. And yep. I'm also going to include some guys who had made it the previous year but were injured. I want you to tell me as I go through these names, assuming health,
yep.
which obviously some of these guys might get hurt and you'll have a substitute, but assuming health, do you consider this guy a 100% lock to make the All-Star game? Okay. Because I just want to get a general idea of where are the spots available. Is it in the mm-hmm. East or the West? Okay. So mm-hmm. here we go. Just tell me yes or no. Jarrett Allen.
No.
Right. Nothing against Jarrett Allen, right? It's just like he's not an absolute lock.
He's not a lock. The All-Star
game. Okay. Okay. So we get the idea. We're not saying these guys are bad. All right. Giannis.
Lock him in, baby.
Okay. Jimmy Butler.
No.
Okay. Interesting. DeMar DeRozan.
No.
Darius Garland.
Yes.
Ooh, interesting. James Harden.
Yes.
Fred Van Vliet.
No.
LaMelo Ball.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I didn't see that one coming.
I think he's going to put up killer numbers. Killer numbers.
Okay, absolute lock, Andrew says. Kevin Durant, now I have him in the East. Of course, he could go the West, but...
Yeah, yes.
He's a lock. Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Zach LaVine.
Assuming health, yes.
Ooh, okay. Chris Middleton.
Yes.
Really?
I think the lock? Bucks are going to win. I think they're going to win like 60 games this year. So you're going to get a second All-Star if you win 60 games.
But it could be Drew. It could be
it's not going to be Drew. It's just not.
Wow.
We know it. Okay. We know it's not. We know it's going to be Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton is a lock. Okay. Jason Tatum.
Lock.
Trae Young.
Lock.
Bradley Beal.
No.
Kyrie.
No.
Okay.
You can't lock Kyrie into anything.
So I'm going to add these up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow, so you think there are 10 locks. You only get 12 guys mm-hmm. on the roster. So according to Andrew, there are only 2 spots available in the East. Now let's do the West real quick. Steph Curry.
Lock.
Luka.
Lock.
Draymond.
No.
LeBron.
Lock.
Jokic.
Lock.
Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Chris Paul.
No.
Devin Booker.
Lock.
Rudy Gobert.
No.
Ja Morant.
Lock.
DeJounte Murray.
No.
Carl Anthony Towns.
No.
Andrew Wiggins.
No.
You thought about that one.
I did.
Kawhi Leonard.
Lock.
Paul George.
Lock.
Zion.
Oh, man. Lock, yeah.
Anthony Davis.
Oh, Lord. Assuming health, lock.
Assuming health. Damian Lillard.
Lock.
So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 names that you have.
Wow.
Only giving us one. Now, obviously, it happens every year. I mean, those names I named off at the end, those guys were injured last year, so they didn't make it. So there will be some room. I would say, in my opinion, though, the West names feel more locky to me.
Yeah, like, I mean, the LaMelo one.
LeBron,
Jokic. Yeah. The LaMelo one in particular, I just am locking him just because I think that he'll put up insane numbers where it's just like, okay, you got to put him on the team. But there is also a chance you get to the All-Star break and the Hornets have won 17 games or whatever. And you're like, oh, man.
Right.
Like, why should we even pay attention to them? So
I think we would both agree that while you can make the case that there's a similar number of locks, the locks on the West, if they're healthy, feel like a lot stronger.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I didn't have to think twice about most of them.
Right. Okay. So now we're going to do our draft. Now, Andrew, I'll give you the option. Would you like to go first or second? This is not a snake draft, so you could potentially just get a benefit from going first.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay. So as a reminder, this is who you think will actually make it. Like if you're betting odds. So who are you going to take first to be a first-time All-Star next season?
Anthony Edwards.
He was my number one as well.
It's my number one pick. It's the easiest one. He's got the star power.
Yes.
He's got the personality, and he's got the stats. And he averaged 21 a game last year. He was 21-5-4 almost last year. He was even better in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's a star. And he just turned 21. He just turned 21. Like, that guy is going to be a multi-time All-Star, and it starts this year.
And he's a third-year player, so that feels good. And you just look at the Wolves, and you're like, can't you just see the Wolves getting out to one like an insanely hot start?
Yeah, you can.
And it's just obvious that Edwards is the choice.
Yeah, and this is why I didn't pick Gobert or Towns as a lock, because I knew I was wanting to take Edwards number one. And there's a chance that the Wolves only get one guy. Like, a hot start for the Wolves is like, they're the fifth seed. You know, that's a hot start for them. It's not that they're running away with the number one seed. It is tough to get more than one guy on your team on the All-Star team, especially if you're not, you know, the number one or number two seed in either conference. And I think the West is just too tough for them to be at the top of the conference, but they're going to deserve an All-Star. He will likely be the leading scorer. And I think Anthony Edwards is the man.
Okay, so I'm interested. I have a feeling we're going to start diverging immediately. My first pick, who was a late riser for me as I thought about it more. Scotty Barnes.
Okay.
I'm going with Scotty Barnes. Now, it's a risk because he's only a second-year player, and you know, second-year players are not the most common. But when I was thinking about it, one, I wanted to target an Eastern Conference player because of what we just talked about. Two, if you look at his post-All-Star break, like, he was already up to 17 points per game. He's like 17-7 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, he would have to make a leap. He would definitely have to make a leap. He'd probably have to get over 20 points per game. But I look at the rest of the guys on that Toronto team, and like, it's not like there's some obvious sexy name, you know? Like, we like Fred VanVleet. We think he's really good. We like Pascal Siakam. Scotty Barnes is sexy, though, Andrew. He gets people going, you know? And I think that if we get to the All-Star break and all those guys are kind of comparable, people are going to opt to want Scotty Barnes over those other two. Now, obviously, the coach is making the decision, but I just feel like there will be a more of a groundswell of support behind someone like Scotty Barnes if he makes that leap in the second year.
Yeah.
So that's it's a risky choice, but that's where I decided to go with my first pick.
What do his stats have to look like? Because he's obviously going to make an impact, a positive impact on the team no matter what. But, you know, he's 15-7-3.5 last year.
I think if he was like 22-8-5.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually number three on my list.
Oh, okay. Who do you got number two? I wonder if he was my number three.
Number two, Jamal Murray.
Oh, interesting. He was lower down for me.
Hasn't made an all-star team yet. His last season, that we saw him play, he was only 23 years old. Mm-hmm. I think people forget because we've had a lot of Jamal Murray in our lives, but still a young player, 25 years old. His last we saw him, he was 21 points per game, 4 boards, 4.8 assists. I think the Nuggets have a chance to be one of the number one or two seeds in the Western Conference when we're heading into the All-Star break. And those teams deserve more than one All-Star. And I think that Jamal could be the guy. I think he could be over 20 points per game. It could be like a really good like comeback story. And selecting him for his first All-Star game, I think people would be happy about that. It would be like a great story to write.
Absolutely. And I had him higher on my list and only moved him down because we just haven't seen him yet. And so you're taking a bit of a leap of faith that he's just going to come back 100%. Like I wish he had played, you know, a month at the end of the season so we could see, oh, Jamal Murray's back. Then I would be more confident. But if he is healthy, like absolutely.
Yeah. We had just heard about him ramping up even at the end of last season.
I know.
And so it's either you're concerned about it or that's reason for optimism for the start of this season. Okay. So I'm choosing to be optimistic.
That's your number two pick. For my second pick, I'm doing it again. I'm going with another second year player. I'm going with Evan Mobley for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
That's the pitch here.
On my list.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The pitch here is that like the Cavs were so good before they started getting all their injuries. So I'm kind of baking in that they're going to get off to a good start again. They've got everyone coming back. They're still super young. There's still a lot of room for internal growth. Now, Mobley needs to take some kind of leap, I think, especially offensively, to really get people excited to take him over someone like his teammate Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a huge bar for him to climb, like in terms of public perception. People are so excited about Evan Mobley. And so if he comes back and he's just scoring like in the mid to high teens, you know, he's like 15, 16 a night, great defense. I think he's going to be an easy pick because I think that Cleveland could potentially be in that top 4 or 5 when we start talking about the All-Star. And who knows, like people might think of Mobley as like the number one choice on that team by that point. I still think it was going to be Garland, but I think they'll definitely be deserving again of two guys, at least two guys.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm going to go with Cade Cunningham with my third pick.
Woo! Okay.
Another second year guy. I think that he had an outstanding end of last season. Remember, he started the year with an ankle sprain that he wasn't as good out the gate. And people, even Thunder fans we saw here locally, were like, oh, look at our guy. Our guy's a lot better than yours. And then he just slowly passed by Josh Giddey throughout the season. And I think Cade is ready to take over. I think he's going to be really, really good. I don't know how good the Pistons will be, but I think he's going to put up monster numbers. I think having a lob threat next to him is going to help a lot. I think he's going to be insane this year. And there's a reason he was the number one pick in that draft. We've already taken two guys from that draft.
I know.
And I think that he is going to prove that being taken number one was the right choice by the Pistons. So I'm going to go Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, historically, or at least the last 25 years, the most amount of second-year players ever selected to their first All-Star game has only been two, and we've already taken three.
It's a special draft class, man.
It is special. Okay, for my next pick, and the reason why I had Cade a little bit lower is because of what you said about the team success. I just don't know if they're going to be good enough, if people are going to put that against him.
For sure.
So I'm going with Tyrese Maxey as my next pick.
Yeah.
Do you know what Tyrese Maxey shot from the field after the All-Star break?
Oh, gosh. It was probably something ridiculous, like 53% or something.
Well, I wish I had it up on my screen before I said it. Okay, here it is. Post-All-Star break, 52% from the field, 48% from three, 85% from the line. He was already averaging almost 19 points a game. Yeah. I think the Sixers are going to be really good. I think Maxey is going to be a big part of that. This kind of, for this to happen, because you mentioned that you think James Harden would be a lock, assuming health, that means that they would have to be so good that people would feel good about choosing three Sixers.
Yeah, or so, he's over Harden, which...
Right, which is possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
So I just like him because he is a third-year player. I'm finally getting away from the first and second-year players.
Yeah.
He is in the East, and so I felt like I have a little bit more room there. And so that's why I went Maxey over who I bet you're going to take next for your fourth pick.
My fourth pick, I'm going to take Jalen Brunson.
Oh, wow.
Was that who you thought I was going to take?
No, not at all.
I just think playing in a big market like New York, you get a bump just because you're in New York. And I think he's going to be their best player, and he's going to average a lot of points and enough assists and enough rebounds that you're going to be like, wow, look at Jalen Brunson. Like, this contract is justifiable. This is great. The Knicks are hovering around 500, which is like a success story in itself because, like, the threshold for them to clear as far as team success is different than every other team. Like, if they're just hanging around,
right,
like the eighth seed, people are like, wow, look at the Knicks. They're finally doing it. This is amazing. You know, where other teams, if they were doing that, it's like, man, this is a disaster. But for the Knicks, the bar is low. And the bar is low for especially point guards. They have had so many bad point guards in New York for so many years. And I think bringing in Jalen Brunson, he's going to put up some monster numbers to start the year, especially if they don't get Donovan Mitchell right away. I think he's going to put up insane numbers, and he'll make his first All-Star team.
And that's the only thing that held me back, because if they get Donovan Mitchell, then you feel like, well, now we're kind of back in a Luka situation. Like, is he really going to get an over Donovan Mitchell? Probably not. Are the Knicks going to get two All-Stars? Probably not. I mean, I guess it's possible, but you could also throw in RJ Barrett as a potential there if he took a leap. So I definitely considered Brunson. He was on my top 10 list, but I had him a little bit further down, which leaves me the guy that I thought you would take, Andrew, which is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, we know the pitch with Shai. The pitch is that they've generally played everyone at the beginning of seasons.
True.
And when they've played everyone, they've tended to be fine, not terrible. So
you know what they finished in defense for the whole season, including the Yurgos Kalatzakis era of the end of the season? You know what they finished in defense?
Was it like 17?
17th in defense. And that's with playing with guys that no one has ever heard of.
Right.
I mean, that is pretty impressive.
And there is still some risk here. Because
there's without a doubt some risk.
There's a ton of risk with Oklahoma City. But, and because it's in the West.
It's in the West. The West is tough, man.
But I did want to acknowledge SGA, because what he did when he came back from injury at the end of the season, if that player showed up at the beginning of the season, it's like obvious All-Star. Like, there's not even a debate about it. So I'm banking on that. And the fact that they're starting to create a roster that makes more sense. It's still slow going. Okay, it's not going to be a perfect roster yet, but I think having someone like Chet instead of Isaiah Roby, for instance, I think it's going to help Shai, because there's going to be someone else who's going to be taking attention from the defense. And if you get someone like Jalen Williams from Santa Clara who can come in and maybe shoot over 35% from three, is that too much to ask?
Whoa!
To have like a little bit of spacing on this Thunder team, I think that will help SGA. So I think he's prime for a big season. There's still a risk because it is the Thunder. They tend to lose some games, but I'm still going with him as my fourth choice. So what is your final choice, Andrew?
Are we going to give an honorable mention pick, or are we going to just give these five?
We're going to give five, and then you can give your honorable mention pick.
Okay. 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 Gosh, this is, it's getting tough already.
It's getting tough, and yet there's still really good names to choose from.
There's some really good players still left, but this one is tough. I'm going to go with DeAndre Ayton here.
Okay, he was on my list. He's made my top 12.
I think DeAndre Ayton could be primed for a big year. And the way that Chris Paul plays, I didn't lock him in just because I think that Ayton could take that spot from him. I think the Suns are going to be really good again. They're going to be like high 50s, low 60s win team. And people forget the kind of numbers that Ayton can put up. He's a really talented offensive player. He's still super young. Like, he's still only 20. He just turned 24 2 weeks ago. I mean, this is a really young guy. And I think as a big man in the league, it takes time to be like, to grow into your own. He's 17-10 last year, 63% from the field. He's a very, very good player. And I don't know if it's, better for the Suns if he's just awesome and you just keep him and it's like, great, this is awesome. Or if he puts up 20-12 and he's like, yeah, I still don't want to be here. And so you got to trade me. But I guess if that's the scenario, you get more for him in a trade. But
yeah,
it's just a weird situation. I may have had him if they just like outright signed him and there wasn't this whole weird saga, I may have had him a little bit higher just because I do believe in Ayton. And he was a guy that was the number one pick in a very, very good draft. And he puts up really good numbers and he plays with the exact right point guard. And, you know, he's a great number two man to Booker. I believe in Ayton and I think that he could potentially make his first All-Star game.
Okay, so that leaves me I just want to read off some of the names that I sent Andrew that I'm not going to choose, just to give people an idea of how many good names there are. Franz Wagner, Jalen Green, Desmond Bain, Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole, RJ Barrett, Mikal Bridges, MPJ, OG, De'Aaron Fox. I put Kyle Kuzma on the list. Lonzo, Markelle Fultz, Malcolm Brogdon, Marcus Smart.
Markelle Fultz. Like you just can't read Kyle Kuzma's name and stop and not stop at Markelle Fultz's name. I'm sorry.
Hey, I considered it.
I will not allow you to do that.
I don't think I finished Spencer Dinwiddie's last name. Spencer Dinwiddie, Jeremy Grant, CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
Listen, last time we were on here, I was talking about the Magic. I can't believe that the Magic are going to make some like big push up the standings and not believe in someone.
Yeah.
And so I'm going with Wendell Carter Jr.
You are! I thought you would take Paolo.
No, it's so rare for a rookie to get an All-Star It is. Appearance.
Did you watch him in the Pro-Am?
Yeah,
he's pretty good in the Pro-Am.
He scored like 48. Yeah. Okay, so let me read off our list, and then you can give your honorable mention. So my list, okay. Scottie Barnes, Evan Mobley, Tyrese Maxey, SGA, Wendell Carter Jr. You went Anthony Edwards, Jamal Murray, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Brunson, DeAndre Ayton. Oh, the name I didn't mention that this was my other option, was Tyrese Haliburton.
And yes, the only I thought hard I, about that one.
I didn't go with Haliburton was, again, the idea that the Pacers probably aren't going to be that good.
Yeah.
Will that hurt him?
Yeah.
That's the only reason, because I think he's going to put up insane stats.
Yeah, he will. Team success does matter on
now,
some level.
Before we started recording, Andrew said that he had an honorable mention that he wanted to tell me that was not on this long list of names that I had given him. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, who could it possibly be? As we were going through it, though, I have a name now in my head, and I can't believe you're going to do this to me if it's who I think it is.
Who do you think it is?
Is it Christian Wood?
So I want to read you an article real quick. This was written in 2009. For the third time in 3 years, Zach Randolph has been traded. Two out of those three times, the team got next to nothing in return. But that didn't matter because every time the team losing him was better off. Obviously, it was a move that opens up a spot for Blake Griffin, but getting rid of Z-Bo is just icing on the cake. It is really amazing to me that a guy can put up 20-10 and still be traded to the Grizzlies for a no production clown like Quentin Richardson. The bottom line is that teams are realizing, in parentheses, not the Grizzlies, that Z-Bo is a black hole and a cancer. Now let me read to you an article written. Oh gosh, this article has a bunch of ads on it. This article was written December 12th, 2021. In Memphis, Tennessee, Zach Randolph became the first player in Grizzlies history to have his jersey retired Saturday night. An unbelievable turnaround. Now, listen. I am not a Christian Wood believer. I have long believed that he is not a winning player. However, if there's any team that I think could benefit from having Christian Wood just absolutely blow up, I think it's the Mavericks. Like who, and we're going to talk here in just a minute to Tim Cato about this, but they need their second score. They need somebody to step up. And it's better if it's a big man, because I think that helps Luka quite a bit. And we know that Christian Wood can put up huge numbers. He really only had, this is like, he's really only had like three seasons where he's put up big time numbers, but the guy can really produce. And if the Mavs do anything, they get every ounce of talent out of almost every player that's on the roster. Like, you feel like that most of the players that are on their roster have hit their peak. I feel like watching Jalen Brunson in the playoffs, you're like, holy smokes. Like, they got every ounce of talent that was in that guy. Dorian Finney-Smith, the same thing. Maxi Kleber, same thing. And if they can do that for Christian Wood, and they're at the top half of the Western Conference, I think that there's a chance that that happens. There's the Zebo precedent there. His first All-Star game that he made, mm-hmm. Zach Randolph, was the year he was traded to Memphis. That was his first All-Star game. And he continued to put up monster numbers from that position. And so I wonder if there is a chance that Christian Wood could actually make this happen. Maybe that's insane. I feel like an insane person saying it. But when you look up and down the East and the West, you look, a lot of times guys make All-Star games based on numbers that they put up. That's just the way that it goes. And I think the Mavericks have a chance to be a team that wins a lot of games. And if they do, people are going to go to the PPG stat line and say, who is second in points per game? And to me, there is a chance that we look and we see Luka Doncic, 32 points per game. Christian Wood, 22 points per game. Wow. And the Mavs, they're on pace to be the third best team in the Western Conference. I think that there is a chance. Would I bet on it? No. Did I take him in my top five? No. But I can't ignore it. I've been thinking about it for 2 days straight. I can't stop thinking about it. I had to just put it out there into the ether.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty smart. I don't want to admit it because I've never been the biggest Christian Wood fan. But like,
neither have I.
if we think that Luka Doncic is the kind of like peak Harden where you can just surround him with anyone and you're getting 50 wins no matter what.
Yep.
Like, they're probably going to, and we saw what they did in the second half of last season. They were, I think, my pick for turnaround team.
Yep.
If they can figure this out without Brunson, which is going to require a lot from Spencer Dinwiddie as well.
Sure.
But if they can figure it out and they're a top four seed and you look at, you look at the box scores and it's like Christian Wood is averaging like 23-11.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to not put him on the team.
Yeah. So put me in there. Team Christian Wood for next season. I cannot believe I just said that, but I just can't. I can't ignore it. I think it would be. I couldn't. I had to get this off my conscience almost. Do you have an honorable mention, or are we ready to move on?
No. After that, any honorable mention I could give wouldn't come close to that. So.
Oh, okay. We are going to talk more Mavs, more Christian Wood content coming at you right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
With us now, we've got Tim Cato, the Dallas Mavericks beat writer for The Athletic. Tim, what's up, man?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Doing great, man. Just taking a little break, you know, from all of the NBA madness. And we were talking All-Stars in the first portion of our podcast, and the Mavericks for sure have won. But let's talk about the potential of this Mavs team. They're coming off an impressive trip to the Western Conference Finals this past season. And in the offseason, they've added Christian Wood and JaVale McGee. The Mavs also lost Jalen Brunson and decided not to sign Goran Dragic. Is there any case to be made that the Mavericks got better this summer? Or will this team likely be taking a step back in the West next season?
It really depends on how Christian Wood fits, how well he does. His first time on a winning team, there's some unpredictability just about how good he'll be, how he looks defensively. We know Christian Wood has had these various attitude issues, whatever you want to say. I would like to believe that he understands the culture of the team that he's coming into. That was something that Jason Kidd really, really built last season. It was one of the more impressive things about last season for the Mavericks was, you know, the way that people kind of saw that culture, you know, on a superficial level, is they kept getting fined in the playoffs for just like standing up all game on the bench. But yep. There was a real buy-in that I could sense, you know, just being around the team, talking to them, hearing it, just seeing it on the court. I think that was a big part of the defensive improvement the team made. And so what Christian Wood looks like in that specific setting is pretty interesting to me. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of talent there. You know, he's not a one-for-one replacement for Jalen Brunson. I guess there's an argument that he could be, you know, talent-wise, kind of fill that void. There is an argument that he could do that. You know, this roster doesn't feel complete, and my understanding and expectation is the front office is trying to make a trade, but they don't really have the resources to make a one-for-one trade. They're really waiting for these trades that everyone's waiting on and seeing if they can get in, you know, buy low on a point guard, mm-hmm. a vet, somebody to come off the bench. And if that happens, there's a chance this team could be a little bit better. I think there's a chance they could be a little bit worse. And probably the most likely scenario is that they're about the same. And I think in the Western Conference, with all the improvement that's happening to various teams, if you're just as good as you were last year, you've kind of taken a step back. And so That's probably my big picture outlook, with the understanding that this roster may look a little bit different by the time we get to opening day or certainly midseason.
So this week on The Athletic, you released a survey that you conducted asking Mavs fans a bunch of questions about the offseason, their expectations for next season. One of the more fascinating results was on a question about Jalen Brunson. You asked Mavs fans if hypothetically Dallas could have signed Brunson to the same 5-year, $130 million deal that he got with the Knicks, would they have done it? And the fan base was split almost perfectly 50-50. And this was interesting because you also found that Mavs fans were generally very upset about losing Brunson. How would you explain these complicated feelings of Mavs fans about Jalen Brunson?
Right. It's interesting. You referenced that fans were upset. And I asked a kind of open-ended survey question just about frustrations in general. I think there's a lot of different avenues that fans can be frustrated at right now. And, you know, overall, there is absolutely a sense of frustration. But I think some fans are frustrated at the extension not being offered, you know, midseason or before the season, that would have locked up Jalen at 4 for $55 million. There are fans frustrated that if they lost him, that there wasn't a sign and trade that at least brought something back. Or they're upset that if they had a sense that they might lose him in free agency, that they didn't go ahead and trade him at the deadline. You know, that was kind of one of the reasons they didn't offer that midseason extension. I'm not sure he would have taken it. There is, you know, even Rick Brunson came out and said he would have taken it. I'm not sure that's true. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, just look at him by midseason of, you know, by February of last year, he had outplayed $55 million over 4 years. Yep. But I think that there was, I have a belief that there was at least frustration stemming from that, from Jalen Brunson, that he didn't feel valued. And look, it's a lot of money. I think you can argue it's a slight overpay what New York came and offered him and what he ultimately signed for. And I think the fans who wouldn't want him back on that hypothetical contract are just like, that's a little too rich for us. I think they're wrong in the sense that you have to re-sign him to that price just for asset management. You know, it's not, it's Mark Cuban's money. It's not somebody else's money. I think that Jalen would have been movable if you look at how the salary cap is going to keep rising, probably dramatically in the coming years. That $26 million would have made him about the 50th highest paid player in the league. That's not, you know, like $26 million is not what it used to be.
Right.
And it sounds like a lot for a player like that. But I think it was, you know, when I look at the Mavs and their potential path to improvement, Jalen Brunson would have made a lot of sense as a player who, if they decided that he wasn't the ideal fit, and I don't think he was the perfect fit next to Luka. I just think that everybody fits next to Luka pretty well. You know, that would have been a good player to trade. But even as I say that, I think Jalen Brunson might have had an understanding of that. And that may have impacted, you know, his pretty clear desire, you know, in the weeks leading up to free agency that he was set on the Knicks one way or the other.
Yeah, one of the main selling points of bringing in Nico Harrison as the GM for the Mavs was his experience at Nike and how it might help reverse the Mavericks' history of free agency disappointment. In his second summer as GM, the Mavs were not able to retain their top free agent, Jalen Brunson. How much of the blame for the Jalen Brunson saga do you put on the front office versus factors that were just out of their control?
I mean, there were, I would say more of the blame goes to the old regime of the front office, which signed Brunson to a contract without options, so they weren't able to essentially make him a restricted free agent. That's why he was unrestricted, because of the way they structured his contract. I think there's some blame that goes with the front office. Clearly, I think if they had to do it back again, they would have signed him to for 55 before last season even started. That was, I think, the chance that he would have absolutely accepted that. And that would have been, you know, from the team perspective, a steal of a deal. I don't know. Is the answer. Like in regards to the past month, there was just so many different actors involved in this process. You know, we know everything about the Knicks. They're officially being investigated for tampering at this point. You know, we know Rick Brunson. We know that Jalen Brunson's agent is Sam Rose. That's Leon's son. There's just so many layers to this. And, you know, I'm still trying to parse it out, and I would like to, you know, report on it at some point. But I think that the mistakes, the biggest mistakes that were made were probably ones that weren't this summer. It was everything that led up to the summer, and the combination of Brunson feeling unwanted by Dallas. And he has come out and given some public comments basically saying, you know, there was a long time that I always, you know, I felt that I was going to spend my entire career in Dallas. So clearly that changed. So I think that's where the mistakes lay. And by the time the summer came, I think the Mavericks could have offered that hypothetical contract, basically a 5-year version of what the Knicks did. I'm not sure that would have been enough at that point, even had they offered it, which I'm not sure they did.
So you mentioned earlier Christian Wood and how he'll kind of be an X factor for how good this team can be. Another obvious guy to be an X factor is Spencer Dinwiddie, who came over in that deal for Porzingis from the Wizards. Played a lot better with the Mavericks. How are you thinking about his role and kind of your confidence in him taking on that larger role, we're assuming, now that Jalen Brunson is out of the picture?
For Spencer, yes?
Yeah, for Spencer.
I think that he had an interesting season for the Mavericks once he got there. It's small sample size. He played about, you know, even including playoffs, it was less than 50 games. I think about 40, to be honest. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, just, you know, feast or famine with him. He's an interesting player. I actually like him as compared to Brunson. I think he's more complimentary with Luka. Brunson had a lot of similarities with Luka in the way that they drove into the paint.
Yeah.
They're very methodical, stop, start, hesitation. They beat their players, you know, their defenders constantly. They could get into the lane, but it was something that took a little bit. And they needed the floor spacing to be able to do that. What I liked about Spencer last season was just he was much more certain and decisive in the way that he played. If he catches the ball on the weak side, you know, in the classic triple threat, he can do all three of them, and he's going to decide immediately whether he's shooting, driving, with a pretty decent first step that gets him to the rim, or whether he's making an instant swing pass. And so I like that, and I think that there's, if the shooting is real, even if he's not going to shoot like 42% like he did with the Mavericks down the stretch, that is a little bit out of line with his career numbers, which are low 30s. But I think there's a decent chance he's a 36 or 37% shooter. And I think that's a pretty damn good player within this Mavericks system. He's always been a better catch and shoot three-point shooter than... And those numbers have really been dragged down by both volume and inefficiency on pull-up shots. And I think playing next to Luka is going to, you know, kind of focus him into those catch and shoot looks more than, you know, feeling like he has to create out of isolation. Now, that's only doable if they get a ball handler off the bench. Otherwise, they're only going to be like, they're going to have to dramatically stagger those two players.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the success of last season was using two ball handlers at all times. And with Brunson leaving, they're going to have to figure out something. And that's why, you know, the Goran Dragic decision not to sign him is still a little bit weird. Unless logically you're like, okay, they are confident they're going to get another guard at some point. So I think that's a big question. But for Spencer, I'm really intrigued. And I think he's going to be good.
So the Mavs did get a potential steal in the draft this year, talking about Jaden Hardy, who they took at 37 from the G League Ignite. Hardy was ranked top five as a prospect coming into the draft last year. What did you see from Hardy in Summer League, and how soon do you think he can actually play for the Mavs?
He looks like an athlete who can be a player at this level, and he kind of moves like one. He wasn't consistently beating defenders per se, but he looks like he has the body, the feel to grow into that, to be that player. I like the vision that I saw. Like, he would make smart passes, reads that were, you know, beyond the first read, the simple read. He's really inefficient, man. Like, the shot making is going to take some time. You know, he can get to any shot, and I think that's a good thing to grow and build on. You know, but it's not all there yet. It won't be there this season. It might not be there next season. With that said, I like that type of pick for the Mavericks. I think in past drafts, the 2020 draft especially, which had a whole lot of drama about it. You can go read certain stories from last summer. that was a massive miss for the team. You know, they drafted Josh Green, who still has a chance to be a decent player. But certainly there was other picks they could have made that would have got them someone more impactful.
Yeah.
And then they had two high second round picks. Both those players are out of the league. Tyrell Terry and I'm blanking on the other one. But again, he's out of the league. How can you guys even blame me for that?
Right.
You know? and so I think previous drafts is where they really needed to build role players, win now players that kind of fit. Right now, they just don't have assets. They just, you know, and I even hate using that terminology, but they don't have young players that other teams are interested in. And unless the Mavericks really dramatically retool to be a cap space team, they're probably looking at being over the cap for a while, and that trades are the path to improvement. And so taking a high upside, a high ceiling player, especially one who was falling that they really liked, I like that decision for them. It's not a player who's going to help them, I think, in any meaningful role, probably at any point this season.
Yeah. Listeners are screaming, Tyler Bay into their whatever podcast catcher they're using.
Yes. Yes. All those people who just love Tyler, you know, all the Tyler Bay stands, man.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for answering our questions, but it's now time to play Andrew versus the Beat, our weekly, now bi-weekly, trivia show where Andrew goes head-to-head against an NBA beat writer. This week, of course, our guest is Tim Gatto. beat writer for the Dallas Mavericks. All right, Tim, how this works. I've come up with 8 questions about the Mavs. Some are easy, some are hard. You're going to choose a number between 1 and 8. It'll correspond to a question. If you get it right, you'll get 2 points. If you get it wrong, Andrew will have a chance to steal for 1. So all you need to do to start us off is just give me a number between 1 and 8.
I'm terrified because the last showing I had on this podcast was just objectively miserable. Let's go with 7. Let's do 7.
Question number 7. JaVale McGee is a 2-time winner of the Shaqt and a Fool MVP, winning 1 with the Wizards and once with the Nuggets. He is one of 2 NBA players to have won the award twice. Who is the other player? So a 2-time...
I feel like this is influenced a lot by player perception. So I'm going to go with J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith did win the award, I believe, but was not a 2-time award winner. Wow. Andrew, you have a chance to steal for 1 point.
Oh, man. I don't know the answer to this. Nick Young? I don't know.
Another great guess. Also incorrect. The correct answer was Russell Westbrook.
Oh man.
All right, Andrew, you should be embarrassed. Homerism at play.
That's right. Number 1.
Okay, question number 1. When the season starts, Christian Wood will be 27 and entering his 7th season in the NBA. How many games has Christian Wood played in the NBA? Now, Andrew, you get to choose who answers first. So you can make Tim answer first and then you go higher or lower, or if you're feeling super confident, you can answer first.
I'll let Tim go. I'm not feeling super confident.
Okay, so Tim, you're going to set the bar.
The exact number.
The exact number. Now, you're just trying to get closest. It's whoever's closest.
Gotcha. Are we playing Price is Right rules, or?
No. So you can, you're just going to give us a number. Andrew will go higher or lower than your number, and then whoever's closest will get the point.
I'm going to say 275.
275. Andrew, would you like to go higher than that? Or lower than that. As a reminder, he is 27. He is entering his 7th season in the NBA.
Yeah, that's a great number. Because I know that he just bounced around at the beginning. Like, 7 sounds like a lot, but I know he didn't play much at the beginning. I'll go lower.
Andrew, that is correct. Yes. Christian Wood has played 222 games. Very good guess, though, by Tim.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, I picked him as a dark horse all-star for next year at the first part of this podcast. So
we were picking first-time all-stars, the potential. So it's not as crazy.
I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
So. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Give me 4.
Question number 4. Okay. Here we go. Luka Doncic has played in 28 career playoff games and is averaging 32.5 points in those games. That is second only to Michael Jordan. Which NBA player who played 71 playoff games is in third with an average of 29.7 points per game? And this is playoff games.
Oh, boy. 71 games played for this hypothetical player?
Yes. So MJ's 1, Doncic is currently 2, and this player is 3.
Interesting. I'm feeling like I'm going to pick back a few decades. I feel like it has to be one of those. You know, let's give a shout to Elgin Baylor.
So to be fair to you, I looked this up on StatHead, which is only post-merger. So I should say post-merger, because Elgin Baylor was back in the 60s. So I'll give you a redo on that. It may have been.
So that's a lot of points. That is a whole lot of points to average. And someone like, I just don't think, I'm talking it out a little bit, but I don't think he can beat someone like KD, you know? I think it has to be, Jordan, Doncic. I'm going to go with, honestly, surely it can't be Kevin, though. See, this is so frustrating. This is so frustrating to me. Let's go with, let's say Kevin. That's not right.
You are correct that it is not right. Andrew, you have a chance to steal. Have you thought of any names?
So Tim had to go to the door to talked to his maintenance man, and it gave me a lot of time to think about this. So it's a great player that didn't play a lot in the playoffs, or like was eliminated early a lot in the playoffs.
Mm, doing math.
Right.
What about Allen Iverson?
Andrew, that is correct. It was Allen Iverson. Wow. Tim gave him that extra time to do the mental math, and Andrew figured it out.
Yeah, it was the mental math that made it
work. Yeah, honestly, I don't even know. Like, Kevin's played way more than 71 games, so see.
Okay, Andrew, you're up, and you have
the maintenance threw me off.
Number two.
Question number two. JaVale McGee has 1,212 total blocks in his career, which is sixth among active players. Which active player is number one? An active player means they are currently signed to a contract for next season.
DeAndre Jordan?
That is incorrect. Mm. Tim, you have a chance to steal. Mm. So active player, which means they are signed to a contract. That is a key point. And they are number one among active players in total blocks in their career.
I just don't know. I don't know if he's played enough, but Gobert?
That is incorrect. The correct answer was Serge Ibaka.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Milwaukee Bucks.
That's fascinating.
Okay, we are back to Tim. Eight. Tim, you were down, but you have control of the board. You chose number eight. There were 14 three-man lineups that played at least 500 minutes together for the Mavs last season. When sorting by net rating, there was only one Maverick who appeared in each of the top five three-man lineups. Who was it?
Oh, see, this I definitely should know. I spend a little bit of time on the NBA stats site, if you will.
Okay.
And it's not... I'm going to say... So 500 minutes, three-man units?
Yes.
Okay.
And this guy was in all the top five.
Reggie Bullock.
Tim? That is absolutely correct for 2 points.
Yep.
And you're back in the game. Now, Andrew is up 3-2, but your lead has shrunk, Andrew. And there's 3 questions left.
Okay, Question number three.
According to HispanosNBA.com, Dallas currently has the second oldest roster in the league with an average age of 27.9 years. There is only one team older than Dallas. Who is it?
Hmm. That's a good question.
Oldest team in the league.
These are all good questions.
According to HispanosNBA.com.
Hispanos.
They're the only website that has this data, and I always go there.
Yeah,
and I want to thank them so much for having average age data, because I use it a lot.
I don't know how to thank them, but I want to thank them. Goodness, this is tough because I like will think about a team like, oh no, that's not it. That's definitely not it.
I have two, and I have two that I'm thinking of.
I'll say the Heat.
The Miami Heat. That is incorrect, Andrew. No. Tim, you have a chance to steal and tie up the game.
So I will say one amusing anecdote is that all of last season, Jason Kidd would love to say, we're a young team. We're a young team. And it drove fans like bonkers because they're not a young team. They're even, you know, less young now that Brunson has departed.
Right.
But they had two young players. Even Jalen Brunson is not young.
Yeah.
You know, he's like 26 now. And so I would ask them, and I'm like, what, like, Can we define what young means here? Like young in experience? That I can get on board with. Anyway, I'm going to pick the Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns, a good guess, but that is also incorrect. It was the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm.
They have a ton of old guys.
Not
old guys over there. Okay, Tim, you didn't get that right, but 2 questions left. You're only one behind. You could move ahead with this question.
Give me 5.
At the end of this season, Dorian Finney-Smith coined a new nickname for him and Reggie Bullock. What was the nickname?
Bang Bros.
That is correct. The Bang Bros.
Yep.
Pretty
cool. That is a nickname.
It certainly is one.
Now that has set up a dramatic final question.
No.
Andrew, you are currently down by one. You have to get this correct
okay.
in order to win the week.
Okay.
The question is, how many lottery picks are currently on the Mavericks roster?
Ooh.
You just have to give me the number.
Oh, boy. Okay. Three?
The correct answers are Luka Doncic, Frank Ntilikina,
yeah,
and no one else. There's only two, which means Tim wins the week. 4-3, a comeback win by Tim.
I don't know why I felt confident in saying three. I just thought maybe I'm missing one. All right, Tim, thanks so much for coming on the show. Go read Tim at The Athletic. We appreciate you coming on, man.
Absolutely. I'm going to bask in the joy of this win all weekend.
Thanks again to Tim Cato for joining the show. Before we go, Al, I'm going to read some Apple Podcasts 5-star reviews. Three reviews, Al. Three?
Woo!
JLW12323 from the United States says, I basically only subscribe for the Slam and Jam. Andrew and Alex are the best. These guys are the best. Thank you so much, JLW12323, for that review. Next one comes from Jess Marie Smitty from the USA. 5 stars. So good. This podcast is awesome because it is educational for the NBA and easy to understand. Thank you for that. This is awesome, including the host. Thank you so much. And then from Hops2345 in Canada. Highlight of Saturdays. Love listening to these guys and the epic opening weekly update at the beginning of the episode. Wish these podcasts were more frequent, but lots of love from Canada. Easy 5 stars. Thanks, Alex and Andrew. Thank you so much for leaving those reviews. Please do that. If you do that in 2 weeks, we'll read those live on the show. Hope you guys enjoy your weekend. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. So come back for 5 days of programming. We'll have the Daily Ding on Tuesday and Thursday, and then episodes of the Athletic NBA Show Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we're still providing you with lots of NBA content. Please continue to tune in, and we will talk to you guys again in 2 weeks.